Good morning, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. This is the New Adventures of the Mountain Pass podcast. This is your tired host, TJ Martinell, coming to you from my war room in my Fortress Americana in the heart of Cascadia. The date is August 28th. As you can tell, it's the morning, 2022, another 15 days flat in the curve here in the great state of Washington, still under perpetual state of emergency declaration. All thanks and glory and honor and praise be to our governor, who art in Olympia. Just enjoying my morning coffee. Bear with me for a second. It's actually not too cold outside. It's funny how I was complaining for months on this podcast in person, as anybody who socializes with me could tell, about the perpetual rain that was going on during the spring. The worst spring I've ever experienced in this state. And of course, we were rewarded for our suffering with a beautiful summer so far. I mean, it's almost the end of August, so I'd say probably need to do something to celebrate the end of summer because it's coming up. You know, this is what's interesting. This is a tangent. We do a lot of tangenting on this podcast. If you are listening for the first time, there are tangents. It happens. We almost need a tangent rating, you know? Like T13, you know, this tangenting is not appropriate for anyone under the age of 13 without parental supervision or something like that. When I was a kid, usually school started the day after Labor Day weekend, or the Tuesday after Labor Day. And so we never considered September to be part of summer. Summer vacation was summer. Like, it wasn't a seasonal thing. And yet summer still goes technically through the 21st of September. So we'll see if there's something to do, because I feel like the summer has not been fully celebrated yet. TJ, what is the title of this episode? I might possibly go with manifesting, because I got a text from my buddy the other night saying something along the lines of he's going crazy because of all the tweets and videos that people are putting out talk about manifesting. And I was like thinking when I first heard it, I was like manifest destiny, or I mean, is that a thing again? Are we finally gonna get that over with? No, so I go on Twitter and I search manifesting on Twitter, and there's a reason why I'm going to be reading this stuff to you guys. Just in case you feel like you're about to suffer, I am going to, there's a context, there is a greater context. This is not a tangent. This is a warm up to a bigger issue that I'm going to talk about. So I'm going to read some random tweets that has to do with manifesting. So this is from some gal who says, manifesting genuine connections with people who have a similar heart and the same intentions as I do. I have no idea what that means. Another person says, manifesting for better grades, confidence, self-improvement, healthy lifestyles, financial stability, knowledge this school year. Does that mean hoping? Because hoping isn't an action. Preparing. Working towards. And then somebody below that person in my search thing said, manifesting is so fun, like I'm having the time of my life. Okay, what does that mean? Here's another one. I'm literally good at everything. Manifesting is easy. Shifting is easy. Making money is easy. Being pretty is easy. My life is perfect. Okay, this has got to be a troll. Which is going to bring me to another point. Another gal, manifesting more fulfilling and meaningful relationships in my life. I want more friendships filled with uplifting words, intention, traveling, and laughter. Tired of these half-assed friendships where I feel like a burden for wanting to keep maintaining the emotional connection. This is actually kind of funny. Somebody said, y'all be manifesting everything but common sense. Yeah. And then there's this tweet with this gal in, like, green pants, like, hiking pants and a white t-shirt, and it just says manifesting. Okay, is it a band? Apparently it's a band. Okay, I'm. Here's another one. I high key recommend manifesting small little things and watch them manifest into your reality quickly. It starts to show you how easily it is to manifest and helps you. Okay, is this a joke? It's kind of like when I would go over to a friend's house and they actually watched cable TV. They watched reality TV shows, and I couldn't tell if it was a spoof or not. One gal, like, there's this thing called a manifesting circle, and it says a rich boyfriend who will buy me all the books that I want. I feel like there's a confusion over here over whether they're talking about a band or. The moment you surrender and live in the present moment while expressing gratitude is when all you've been praying for and manifesting aligns with you. Okay, we've read enough. I this is like gouging my eyes with a rusty spoon. This is why I'm not real. Like, there are days, and yesterday was one of them, where I just got home. I'd had a good day. Things had gone well. Socially interacted with real life people in real life without the use of a digital device. I know that is a bit of accomplishment nowadays. And I go to check the Twitter sphere to just see, you know, like check the updates on stuff. And I'm reading through stuff, and I just thought, why am I on this thing anymore? I mean, I've abandoned all but Facebook. I'm on there just to, for, you know, various other reasons, that mainly just practicality. Like, if I need to get a hold of somebody that I don't have their email or phone number, I don't post anything. I really don't talk to people anymore about stuff. I've noticed that the groups I used to be involved with don't really talk about stuff either. And when I go on Twitter, and this is the thing why I don't, what I'm talking about is, it's just people saying stuff as if people are listening, but nobody's going to talk. Like, they're not, like the stuff I just read, like, what does that mean? It's almost as if people are having extended conversations with themselves on social media. And it's almost as if I'm not going to delete my social media accounts. I'm just going to stop using it. Kind of the same thing with just the internet in general. I don't have a solution just to get to the end of this. We're going to do a film noir style narration on this. Start at the end, go back to the beginning, and then work your way through with flashbacks frequently back to the end. I don't have a solution. And like I've said before, there is no collective solution. You're going to have to figure this out on your own, like we all will. But it reminds me of what somebody once told me when I was going to buy a motorcycle. They go, just remember, you own the motorcycle, but if you don't watch out, the motorcycle will own you. And what he meant by that is, there was a guy he knew that had bought this nice motorcycle, but he was having to constantly maintain it, and it was costing him a lot of money. And so the motorcycle really started to control him, kind of the way that a pet can control a person, right? Where you can't go anywhere because the pet needs constant, especially dogs, not cats, but dogs absolutely need constant emotional need and care. And you have to constantly worry about them, and you have to constantly make sure that somebody's watching out for them, and you got to feed them, and you got to, you know, you can't just leave them in the house or they go crazy. That, like, the dog starts to own you. And I feel like that's the same way with the internet. You know, in its early days, the internet was kind of a tool, a novelty tool. It wasn't something you absolutely needed to maintain any kind of communication with people. But now we're not even communicating anymore. People can talk at, like, they can, if you think about it, in a conversation, you can't just say something random and then just walk with ease, just walk away from the conversation. You could do that, but it makes you look bad and it looks stupid. And typically you don't do that with people that you're physically invested to be in the same physical proximity with. You're sitting down with them, you're having a conversation, you're in their physical presence, the dynamic's just different. As opposed to, you can just tweet out something or post something on social media and then close your phone and put it away and go do something else. And everybody else can respond to it and you don't have to listen to anything they say. And this isn't necessarily a problem for people who are a little bit older who grew up before smartphones, but I see this definitely being a problem for people who are, I'd say, roughly my age and younger. And I think that this is where Twitter is definitely starting to transform into, one, it's just ads. It's either ads or people promoting their businesses. You know, every single tweet they have to include at the bottom of they have to do a follow-up tweet saying, you know, like my tweet, subscribe to my Patreon, subscribe to my whatever, you know, my business newsletter. Like, it's all this stuff that's just bombarding you. And it's always people who are trying to manipulate the algorithm, because that's what's going on here. I remember a person told me about how somebody on YouTube that they knew was making a ton of money because they just managed to trigger the algorithm to the point where lots of people were going to their channel and lots of people were watching their videos and all this kind of stuff. And to me, it's just this weird rat race. And if they found success, it's like, well, that's great. You know, nothing against that or whatever. But I think what annoys me is when people who manage to strike it rich in this digital gold rush then turn around and act like they made it happen entirely on their own. You know, you see these people are like, I lost weight and, you know, 20 pounds in 15 days and here's how you can. And then they don't tell you that, oh, I don't know, they got sick. They got double pneumonia. Hypothetical, but I'm just saying. It's people just trying to sell stuff, and nothing wrong with that. That's like going to the shopping mall. That's it. The social media is becoming a shopping mall. It's becoming a Middle Eastern bazaar market. It's becoming a place where people are constantly yelling at you to buy their stuff. And it's in the same space where you're trying to have conversations with people about, you know, in some cases, some serious topics. I think, though, notice back in, like, you know, the early, I'd say mid-2000s and then to the mid-2010s, you had the rise of blogs. You know, there was a lot of blogging going on. Blogging was very popular. Blogging was, you could make good money being a blogger if you did it right. But I've noticed that all the people that I follow who've been successful as writers who are bloggers have moved on from blogging. They just stopped posting stuff online. And I think there's a couple reasons for it. I think one of them is, everything that was to be said has been said. You just need to go out and do, and people have not moved on from that phase. Whatever it is, like if they're trying to lose weight, or they're trying to do better with dating, or they're trying to deal with an economic issue or financial, like there's all these things that they need to do, and they just aren't doing it. So we've moved over to the live streaming. This is where people are just passively watching as someone else sits there and comments on stuff. And this is a huge problem, especially with the younger generation, when I see them watching these YouTube. First of all, I want to gag every time I use the word YouTube influencer, where they're not creating a product. They're not creating any kind of meaningful art. They're sitting there and acting like a bunch of effeminate clowns, giggling and laughing like a perpetual child at Minecraft or some video. Like, it's someone watching a video. And it's teaching people to be passive. And I've had the point where I don't really watch videos on YouTube. I watch stuff not for entertainment purposes, but for more practical reasons. Like if I'm working on a house project or I'm trying to figure out how to do, you know, I'm trying to remortar some of the bricks outside my house, or I'm trying to learn some sort of practical thing. And which annoys me about these how-to videos, because they spend the first 5 minutes talking about themselves and their channel. It's like, dude, just get to the point. You can tell me all that stuff after you've proven that you're actually worth listening to. And it's a lot of people, especially on Twitter, just talking at the Twittersphere. They're not interested in responding to stuff. Because these conversations have been had, these horses have been beaten to death. Like, social media has really beaten the dead horse and continues to beat the dead horse. And this is at the point where you kind of just walk away. This is not maybe the best analogy or example, because a lot of you aren't going to get it, but there's a scene from this old 1931 film called All Quiet on the Western Front, which is about, based on a novel written by a German World War I veteran, and it's about this young soldier named Paul, and he's been fighting on the Western Front for a couple of years, and he comes back home on leave, and he's at this is at the end of the war. And he's at this German beer garden with his dad and all of his dad's friends, who are, of course, the equivalent of the boomers. Because they have opinions on how the war should be fought. Oh, do they have opinions? And they just start talking, and they completely ignore what Paul's trying to say, who has actually fought in the war. And they just keep talking and arguing with each other, and they're pointing at a map, and they're drawing all over it, and they're doing all this stuff. And he finally just stands up, pushes out his chair, and he leaves and walks away. Like, there was nothing being accomplished in that discussion. And he wasn't going to gain any value by trying to participate further in the dialogue. They were not interested in what he had to say. And also, they're not making any of the decisions in this war. Like, what is the purpose of the conversation? What, are they going to go take it to... I think Hindenburg was in charge at that point. Are they going to go up to the German high command and say, hey guys, here's our battle plan? I mean, that's what a lot of these discussions on social media are like. And to my shame, I used to have these discussions, and I just thought, you know what? It just doesn't matter. My opinion does not matter. I don't set national economic policies. I don't set policies even locally. Like, having people who are not in control discuss about how things should be, it's just a waste of your time. A better discussion is what you should do with your house. Or, you're living in an apartment, like, should I move to, somebody says, should I move to another apartment? Is this apartment too big? Like, those are worthwhile conversations. Or should I get a pet? Should I get a dog or a cat? Should I get this bicycle? Like, these are all conversations that normal, ordinary people should be having, because they're, one, they're practical. They have real life application. And two, you can actually do something about it. You can decide to buy the bicycle, or you can decide not to buy the bicycle. This is why I'm not talking about the student loan debt forgiveness, because my opinion doesn't matter. It doesn't. And saying, well, is it a good idea or not? It doesn't matter. I have no say. I have no control. And my emotions do not matter. My thoughts and feelings on the matter do not matter. If $10,000 worth of student loans are going to be forgiven, they're going to be forgiven. If they're not going to be forgiven, they're not going to be forgiven. Me being happy or sad or excited or infuriated does not matter. And it's really sad to watch young people who have a lot of opportunities out there. Hey, guys, you got to get offline. You got to look for opportunities to actually make something of your life. This is the tough love part. A lot of you got to get away from people in your own physical reality who are perfectly content for you to spend your entire life on your phone. Now, I'll give an example. If you're a girl and your parents are content to have you spend all your day on Tumblr and to be constantly looking at blog posts on Tumblr, you got to get a, my opinion, it, when you're, if you're an adult or after you become an adult, just know they could have said something and they didn't. And the reason they didn't is because they don't, they either don't care or they're perfectly content to have you be a complete loser for the rest of your life. It's the same thing with the boys. You know, if you're surrounded by people or you are in close proximity to people who are content with you being a loser, if you want to stop being a loser, you got to get rid of them. And what I mean, get rid of them, you need to remove them from having any meaningful relationship with you. It doesn't mean you cut off contact entirely. It means you just don't associate with them in a deeper relationship where you're having discussions about what you want to do with your life, because I promise you, they're going to want to argue with you about it. They're going to want to keep you arguing about whether you should do it rather than encouraging you to do it, because when you go do it, then you're going to stop being a loser and that's going to make them feel discomfort. So you being online and playing video games and, you know, whining about the ways, the unfortunate realities of life and things that you have no control over, that makes people, other people feel comfortable. You not advancing and moving forward in your life makes some people comfortable. And you actually amounting to something in this life makes them uncomfortable. Social media and much of the internet is an opiate of the masses, and it aids people who are comfortable with being around others who are not amounting to anything in their life. And wasn't necessarily going to talk about this, but like I keep continually say, this is a tangenting podcast. This is I don't want to say it's rated T. Rated T for trouble and tangenting. I almost, you know, trouble and tangenting. That actually sounds like a good podcast name. If I ever revamp this podcast, tangenting, trouble and tangenting is going to be the name of the podcast. You know what? Trouble and Tangenting is actually going to be the name of this podcast episode. I'm wondering. Manifesting? I think we got a winner here, guys. I think we got a winner. So, yeah, I've tangented so much, I'm trying to get back onto the tangent that I was tangenting on before I got off on the main topic. Brain, wake up. I need more coffee. Give me a second. Because here's my observation, some life lessons for you youngsters, is on one hand, you can become a very interesting person. You can learn a lot about history, philosophy, literature. You can collect cool stuff. You can go on nice hikes. You can do crazy things. However, that is not going to compensate enunciation even in the morning. It's not going to compensate for the lack of meaningful relationships in your life. So you are not going to find those in perpetuity online. Meaning if you have an only online relationship with someone, I've said this before, you don't have a friendship. You have people that you know digitally, but you do not interact with them in your physical life. You've never met them in person. So the objective with, then this is something people have to start seeing the internet as, is there to obtain information for a real life application, is there to obtain knowledge for a real life application, and is there to interact with people digitally who, with the intention ultimately of interacting with them in the physical world. It's sort of like with dating, like, and especially online dating, like what is the end goal? What's the purpose of the interaction? And it's funny how when you bring this up, people, and I'm not saying you say this literally explicitly like an autistic spurg, but you do have to have some sense of direction. It's kind of like going off on a hike and you don't have a specific, which is, you know, can be okay as long as you know where you, the end goal is to get back to the trailhead so you can get in your car and go home. But like, where are you actually trying to go for the hike is, you know, whatever. But when you get online, like, what is the purpose? Do you, because if you don't have an end goal, you don't ever advance. Like, for example, when I was speaking of student loans, I did not take out student loans, just for the record. What I did is I saved up money. I looked at how much the tuition was for the college I wanted to go to. I looked up how much housing was going to be. I said, okay, I need to have this much amount of money saved up by the time school starts in the year I'm not going to mention, because then people are going to realize this. I'm older than I look. And so I had a goal with the purpose of making the money I was making. And every summer I was like, okay, I need to make this much money, which I usually, it wasn't the question of making the money. It was the question of spending the money, right? So I was going out and I was, you know, saving up all that money and putting it into my bank account and then, you know, going off to school to spend the money on getting an education. But everything, there was a purpose for what I was doing, and that purpose and those goals were driving my behavior in a way that moved me forward. The internet right now, if you don't have a purpose for being online, you're going to flounder. And I actually, this is one of the reasons why I got back into writing the short stories about Amos Cavendish and all that other stuff is, you know, specifically for men, we need a project. And that need is a good or bad thing. And what it means is you can have that, you can express the need for a project in a healthy way, and you can express it in a toxic way or a negative way or a just dysfunctional way. So some people have to have a home improvement project going, or they've got to have a car project. They have to constantly work on cars. I had one of my radios, my antique radios, repaired by a guy who had fixed or repaired 1,000 radios. No joke. He had an entire garage full, and you know, they all weren't the same huge size. Some of them were really small, but he had this compulsive desire to work on radios. It was crazy. But that was, he had to have a project going. And some men have to have a house project going, and some men have to have a outdoor, you know, backyard project going, or they got to have a front yard project going, or they got to have some sort of landscaping project going, or they got to have a project going on at work, or they got to have a project going on in some organization they're involved in. You know, my projects for the time being is in writing. And that was where I was coming home after, you know, going out and doing my adventures on a weekly basis and realizing I need a project to work on. And yes, there's going to be some house projects I'm going to be working on when I get my ducks lined up in a row. But this is my project for the time being, is working on these short stories. I think the thing with projects is, the question is, how are you expressing that need, and how is that impacting your relationships with other people? Because the guy who was working on 1,000 radios, I'm guessing his wife probably, well, I mean, it's a garage, so I have no idea how big the garage was. I don't know all the details, but I wonder if she kind of walked in there occasionally and just thought, this is a little weird. I mean, of course, he could sell them. I don't know if he did. It was so long. This was like 12 years ago. I don't fully remember. But you have to have a project going on. And unfortunately, some of my projects were not done in a functional way, because I wrote a bunch of novels that just are not. I could heavily edit them. It would take a lot of my time. And there's no audience for it, I don't think, out there, at least for... You know, if I was going to go, what I would do is I'd find some 25-year-old gal and have her market the books as hers, and then I'd just take a cut of the action when the books sell. You know, she could sell the books. I mean, that's almost where things are going to end up going, is, you know, you have a, you hire a female. But the problem is that I don't think a 25-year-old gal who has that kind of discipline and consistency and reliability and dependability is going to want to do that. She's going to be out doing other stuff that's going to be paying more money. This would have to be kind of a doing it just for the kicks and giggles. Now, there's got to be, I mean, I'm just speculating here. There's got to be some sort of an app out there. And if you, my dear listeners, happen to know what this app is, please, by all means, share it. Is a way to, like, process all the information. All, because now we've got this kind of, like, illusion of where, or not illusion, but, like, there's way too much information on the internet. And so, you know, trying to determine and, like, condense stuff into, oh, if you're looking for this, this is where you find it, like this information or these facts. Because there's so many sites. This is one of my problems when I'm working on home improvement projects. This is, I'm like, I have no idea who to trust. Or you're trying to locate something on the internet. I've gotten pretty good at searching through the Google, the Google gods. But they're becoming more unreliable. And that's another thing. It's the same thing with all these different services you used to get. Now everything is, because it's free, I get that. Like my Gmail account is free, and that's why they got the ads or they've got whatever's going on. And the same thing with the Facebook. This is where, if I think that this is a takeaway for any future generation, is that if there's a website that's started up and it's really cool and it's what, you know, everybody's got to get on and it's free, stay off of it. Just stay off of it. And the reason you stay off of it is because eventually they're going to start making changes to the way that it is structured. They're going to change the terms of service. They're going to change all the different rules. And they're going to do that after you've invested enough in your account to where it's too painful for you to pull the plug. I think a good way for this to start for some of you people who are wondering, like, how do I get off the internet or how do I, like, take a break, whatever. Go out somewhere like I did a couple weeks ago. I was in California in a dead cell service zone. I had no cell service and there's no internet there. You just take a break. You just take a break. And then you come back and then you go look and realize that nothing has changed. No amazing discussions have been had. Your absence did not change anything. I'm not saying go outside and touch grass. If you want to touch grass, it's fine. There's nothing wrong against touching grass, but you know, break away and then maybe come up with a way to really have a sense of purpose for why you're online. Like, am I just surfing surfing the web has been a thing for a really long time, but just why am I on the internet at this exact moment? Like in a couple minutes, I'm going to be on the internet uploading this podcast so that you, dear listeners, can listen to it and heap praise upon it for all the different things that I'm saying that you are just excited to hear about. So I think that is all we're going to talk about on this podcast for today. Just for some housekeeping, you can go to my website, tjmarnell.com. And speaking of the internet, there's my book, The Stringers, that you can pick up that is about a young man who is living in a world where everything is done online, including social interactions, and then he is forced to break out of it. So I feel like that book has really gotten more pertinent as more and more stuff is occurring online. So you can get that on Amazon. All the links are at my website, tjmartinall.com, book links, podcast information, all that good stuff. So hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the New Adventures of the Mountain Pass podcast. This is your host, as always, TJ Martinell, coming to you from my war room in my Fortress Americana in the heart of Cascadia, signing off.